and today. You're on 88.7 KRVS, public radio for Acadiana.
Four left.
I couldn't place himself.
Four right. Five left. Five right. Six left. Six right. Seven left. Seven right. Eight left. 8, right. Signal level will now increase. Reduce volume control setting.
Coming by all high speed to an ever so loud, it's met by Hartwood Hill on stage, but it has been announced that I just stood here and paid the dialect for a century dead, but now just to ramble under our feet of blossom.
Of equal daughters, equal sons, all alike and good, grow and ungrow, young or old, strong, ample, fair, enduring, capable, rich, perennial with the earth, with freedom, law, and love.
12 left.
I'm going to read my poem with great emphasis upon the rhythm. And that may seem strange if you are not used to it. I remember the great English poet, William Morris, coming in a rage out of some lecture hall where somebody had recited a passage out of his Seagog of Alston. It gave me a devil of a lot of trouble, said Morris, to get that thing into verse. It gave me a devil of a lot of trouble to get into verse the poems that I am going to read. And that is why I will not read them as if they were prose. I am going to begin with a poem of mine called The Lake Isle of Innisfree. Because if you know anything about me, you will expect me to begin with it. It is the only poem of mine which is very widely known. When I was a young lad in the town of Sligo, I read Thoreau's essays and wanted to live in a hut on an island in Loch Gill called Innisfree, which means Heather Island. I wrote the poem in London when I was about 23. One day in the Strand, 14, I heard a little tinkle of water and saw on a shop window a little jet of water balancing a ball on the top. It was an advertisement, I think, of cooling drink, but it set me thinking of Sligo and Lake Water.
Left.
I think there is only one obscurity in the poem. I speak of noon at a purple glow. I must have meant by that reflection of Heather in the water.
15.
I will arise right. And go now and go to Innisfree, in a small cabin build there of clay and mottled mill. Nine bean rows will I have there, a hive for the honey bee, and a
bellow
in the bee loud blade. And I shall have some peace there, for peace comes dropping slow dropping from the veils of the morning, go where the cricket sings. There midnight, all
16,
of them are, and moon
right.
A purple glow, and evening full of prayer's wings. I will arise and go now, for always night and day, I hear lake water lapping the blows down
17
to the shore.
Left.
The light and the roadway, around the pavement's gray, I hear it in the deep heart's core.
17
I ride
right.
The dawn, and I kneel and blow, with the seeds of the fire, life around glow. Then I must scrub and bake and sweep. The stars are beginning to blink.
18 left.
The young lie long and dream in their bed of the matching of ribbons for bosom and head. Their day goes over in idleness. They sigh if the
18
wind but lift
right.
But rest. While I must work because I am old, and the seed of the fire gets feeble and cold.
19 left.
Lucinda Matlock. I went to the dances at Chandlerville and played snap-off at Winchester. One time we changed partners, driving home in the moonlight of middle June. And then I found Davis. We were married and lived together for 70 years, enjoying working, raising the 12 children, 8 of whom we lost ere I'd reached the age of 60. I spun, I wove, I kept the house, I nursed the sick. I made the garden and for holiday rambled over the fields, or sang the larks and bicycle river, gathering many a shell and many a flower and medicinal weed. Shouting to the wooded hills, singing to the green valleys. At 96 I lived enough, that is all that passed to the sweet repose. What is this I hear of sorrow and weariness, anger, discontent, and drooping hopes? Degenerate sons and daughters, life is too strong for you. It takes life to love life. Emily Sparks from Spoon River Anthology. Where is my boy, in what far part of the world? The boy I love best of all in the school. I, the teacher, the old maid, the virgin heart. Made them all my children. Did I know my boy aright, thinking of him as spirit aflame, active ever aspiring? Oh boy, boy, for whom I prayed and prayed. In many a watchful hour at night, do you remember the letter I wrote you of the beautiful love of Christ? And whether you ever took it or not, my boy, wherever you are, work for your soul's sake that all of the clay of you, all of the drops of you, may yield to the fire of you. Till the fire is nothing but light. Nothing but light.
The creation is from my volume, God's Trombones. Read at Columbia University, December 24th, 1935. James Weldon Johnson.
And God stepped out on space.
And looked around and said, I'm lonely. I'll make me a world. As far as the eye of God could see, darkness covered everything, blacker than 100 midnights down in a cycle. And God smiled and the light broke. The darkness rolled up on one side and the light was shining on the other. God said, then God reached out and took the light in his hand. And God rolled the light around in his hand until he made the sun, and he set that sun a blazing in the heavens. And the light that was left from making the sun, God gathered it up in a shining ball and flung it against the darkness, angling the night with the moon and stars. Then down between the darkness and the light he burned. God said, that's good. Then God himself stepped down, and the sun was on his right hand,
the moon was on his left, the stars were clustered about his head, and the earth was under his feet. God walked where he trod, his footsteps hollowed the valleys out and purged the mountains up. Then he stopped and looked and saw that the earth was hot and barren. So God stepped over the edge of the world and he spat out the seven seas. He batted his eyes and the lightning flashed. He clapped his hands and the thunders rolled. And the waters above the earth came down. The cooling waters came down. Then the green grass sprouted and the little red flowers blossomed. The pine tree pointed his finger to the sky, and the oak spread out his arms, and the lakes cuddled down in the hollows of the ground, and the rivers ran down to the sea. Then God smiled again, and the rainbow appeared, and stirred itself around the shore. Then God raised his arm, and he waved his hand over the sea and over the land, and he said, "Bring forth! Bring forth!" And quicker than brought the dropping hand, fishes and fowls and beasts and birds swam the rivers and the seas, roamed the forests and the woods, and split the air with their wings. And God said, "That's it." Then God walked around, and God looked around on all that he had seen. He looked at his sun, and he looked at his moon, and he looked at his little star. He looked on his world with all its living things. God said, "I'm lonely." Then God sat down on the side of a hill where he could think. By a deep, wide river he sat down. With his head in his hands, God thought and thought. Till he thought, "I'll make me a man." Up from the bed of the river, God scooped the clay, and by the bank of the river he kneeled him down. And there the great God, Almighty, who lit the sun and fixed it in the sky, who flung the stars to the most far corner of the night, who rounded the earth in the middle of his hand, this great God, like a mammy bending over her baby, kneeled down in the dust, boiling over a lump of clay, till he shaped it in his own image. Then into it he breathed the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Amen. Amen.
If I told him a completed portrait of Picasso, if I told him, would he like it? Would he like it if I told him? Would he like it? Would Napoleon? Would he like it? If Napoleon, if I told him, would he like it if I told him? If I told him, if Napoleon? Would he like it if Napoleon, if I told him? If I told him, if Napoleon, if I told him? If I told him, would he like it? Would he like it if I told him? Now, not now, and now. Now, exactly as kings. Feeling full for it. Exactitude as kings. So to beseech you as full as for it. Exactly or as kings. Shutters shut and open, so do queens. Shutters shut and shutters, and so shutters shut and shutters, and so shutters. And so shutters shut, and so shutters shut, and shutters, and so. And so shutters shut, and so, and also, and also, and so, and so, and also. Exact resemblance to exact resemblance, the exact resemblance, as a resemblance. Exactly as resembling, exactly in resemblance, exactly a resemblance, exactly and resemblance. For this is so, because. Now actively repeat it all. Now actively repeat it all. Now actively repeat it all. Have hold and hear actively repeat it all. I judge. As a resemblance to him. Who comes first? Napoleon the first. Who comes to? Coming to. Who goes there? As they go, they share. Who shares all? All is as all, as yet or as yet. Now to date, now and date and the date. Who came first? Napoleon at first. Who came first? Napoleon the first. Who came first? Napoleon first. Presently. Exactly do they do. First exactly. Exactly do they do too. First exactly. And first exactly. Exactly do they do. And first exactly and exactly. And do they do. At first exactly and do they do. The first exactly. And do they do the first exactly. At first exactly. First as exactly. At first as exactly. Presently as presently. As presently. He, he, and he, and as he, and he. He is, and as he is, and as he is, and he is. He is, and as he, and he, and as he is, and he. And he, and he, and he. Can curls rob, can curls quote quotable? As presently, as exactitude, as trains, has trains, has trains, as trains, as trains presently, proportions presently, as proportions as presently, father and father, was the king or room, father and weather, was there, weather and in there, as even say so, one I land, two I land, three the land, three the land, three the land, two I land, one I land, two I land, as a so, they cannot, a note, they cannot, afloat, they cannot, they dote, they cannot, they as denote, miracles play fairly well, a well, as or as presently. Let me recite what history teaches.
Test right channel 1. Three. Cartridge tracking. High frequency. Left channel. Tracking. Low frequency. Left channel.
And what gate will we be going into, do you know? 6 north. We'll be going into gate 6. Hold short of taxiway tango.
Okay, we'll hold short of tango.
5164, which one are you using? 31 right or left?
Mohawk 64, Mike, 31 right, straight ahead. Yeah.
Okay, right.
Cartridge tracking. Low frequency. Right channel. Very low flutter. slow flutter. Moderate flutter.
Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked on one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth, then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing there had worn them really about the same, and both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Stopping by woods on a snowy evening. Whose woods these are, I think I know. His house is in the village, though. He will not see me stopping here to watch his woods fill up with snow. My little horse must think it queer to stop without a farmhouse near between the woods and frozen lake the darkest evening of the year. He gives his harness bells a shake to ask if there is some mistake. The only other sounds, the sweep of easy wind and downy flake. The woods are lovely, dark and deep, but I have promises to keep, and miles to go before I sleep, and miles to go before I sleep.
Out of the people, yes, perhaps I could offer a passage that consists entirely of proverbs, some of them older than the alphabet, others as recent, as modern as the oxygen tent, bombing plane, vacuum cleaner, the CIO, sit-down strike, and the mediation board. Peoples need a pause for breath, for wounds and bruises to heal,
food again, after war, after famine. Meeple was a monolith, a mover, a dirt farmer, a desperate hope. The prize liar comes saying, I know how, listen to me, I'll bring you through. The guesser comes saying, the way is long and hard, and maybe what I offer will work out. The people choose, and the people's choice more often than not is one more washout. Yet the strong man, the priceless one who wants nothing for himself and has his roots among his people, comes often enough for the people to know him and to win through into games beyond later losing. Comes often enough so the people can look back and say, we have come far, and we will go farther yet. The people is a trunk of patience. What is history but a few big names plus people? What is big name unless the people love it or hate it for what it did to them or for them while it was in the going? And this big name means pretense and plunder, ashes and dung, while another is armfuls of roses enshrined beyond speech. You may call spirits from the vast deep. Aye, you may. But will they come when you call them? You may sell an idea to the people and sit back satisfied you have them your way, but will they stay sold on the idea? Will they be easy to hold in line unless the idea has a promise of roots twisted deep in the heart of man, being brought into play as though justice between man and man may yet breeze across the world with sea snows? A very old, very plain homely cry. Why didn't we think of this before?
So and so, reclining on their couch. On her side, reclining on her elbow, this mechanism, this apparition, we'll call it projection A. She floats in the air at the level of the eye, completely enough. Born as she was at 21, without lineage or language, only the curving of her hip as motionless gesture, eyes dripping blue, so much to learn. If just above her head there hung suspended in air the slightest crown of Gothic crumbling fractured bright, the suspension, as in solid space, the suspending hand withdrawn, would be an invisible gesture that just be called projection B. To get at the thing without gestures is to get at it as idea. She floats in the tension, the flux between the thing as idea and the idea as thing. She is half who made her. This is the final projection, C. The arrangement contains the desire of the object.
Distortion test.
But one confides in what has no concealed creator. One walks easily the unpainted shore, accepts the world as anything but sculpture. Goodbye, Mrs. Papadopoulos, and thanks.
The red wheelbarrow. So much depends upon a red wheelbarrow glazed with rainwater beside the white chicken. To Elsie, the pure products of America go crazy. Mountain folk from Kentucky, or the ribbed North End Jesuits of lakes and valleys, its dead mules, leaves, old names, and promiscuity between devil-maker men who have taken to railroading out of sheer lust of adventure. and young slatterns bathed in filth from Monday to Saturday, to be tricked out that night with gods from imaginations which have no peasant traditions to give them character, but flutter and flaunt sheer rags, becoming without emotion save dumb terror, or some hedge of chokechair or viburnum which they cannot express, unless it be that marriage, perhaps with a dash of Indian blood, will throw up a girl so desperate, so hemmed round with disease or murder, that she'll be rescued by an agent, reared by the state and sent out at 15 to work in some hard-pressed house in the suburbs, some doctor's family, some Elsie. Voluptuous woman, expressing with broken brain the truth about us, her great ungainly hips and flopping breasts addressed to cheap jewelry and rich young men with fine eyes, as if the earth under our feet were an excrement of some sky, and we degraded prisoners destined to hunger until we eat filth, while the imagination strings like a deer going by fields of goldrod in the stifling heat of September. Somehow it seems to destroy us. It is only an isolate flex that something is given off. No one to witness and adjust. No one to drive the car.
The age demanded an image of its accelerated grimace. Something for the modern stage. Not at any rate an attic grace. Not certainly the obscure reveries of the inward gaze. Better mendacities than the classics in paraphrase. The age demanded chiefly a mold in plaster made with no loss of time. A prose kinema. Not assuredly alabaster of the sculpture of rhyme. These fought in any case. Some believing pro domo in any case. Some quick to arm, some for adventure, some from fear of weakness, some from fear of censure, some for love of slaughter,
reference tones,
imagination burning later, some in fear of damned love of slaughter. Died some pro patria, non Vulcan, non Endeavor. Walked I deep in hell, believing in old men's lies, then unbelieving. Came home to a lie, home to many deceits, home to old lies and new infamy. Usually age old and age thick, and liars in public places. Daring as never before, wastage as never before. Young blood and high blood, fair cheeks and fine bodies. Fortitude as never before, frankness as never before. Disillusions as never told in the old days. Hysterias, French confessions, laughter out of dead bellies. There died a myriad and the best among them, for an old bitch gone in the teeth, for a botched civilization. Charm, smiling at the good mouth, quick eyes gone under earth's lid. For two gross of broken statues, for a few thousand battered books. We'll be right back.
chromatic octave. A. Hey. Townburst test. Intermodulation distortion test.
Was produced live in the studios of KRVS here on the campus of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette by your host Cecil Doyle, who joins you in support of public radio. Join us again next week for more right here on
Sounds Unusual.
Also a reminder that this is KRVS's spring fundraiser. A pledge of support to the station would help us out a great deal. Use your Visa, MasterCard, Discover, or American Express at our website, www.krvs.org. And thanks.
Mm-hmm.